Now for the second split, a local member, Mr. Dan McGee.
Thank you, Mr. Nettles. Thank you, Mr. Miller, for the announcements. Happy Sabbath, brethren. All right. Just a special, I want to please make it a point. I know that all prayers are important, but for Mr. James Edwards, we have a duty to do, brethren, and his wife is in dire straits, and we want to be there for him as one of the members of God's family. Well, I bring you greetings from Yuma. I was there a couple weeks ago, and it was a good little crowd down there. And then last Sabbath, we were in Las Vegas, and bring you greetings from Las Vegas, too. It was a good time seeing the brethren up there. Very interesting to hear Mr. Tuck talk about New York City, and I'm dating myself because I remember standing in front of the Twin Towers with my wife and saying, at the time there was another attempt to destroy the towers, and they tried to blow it up from the bottom, and we were standing there outside the basement or the lower part, and I said, man, who would ever think to try to blow this whole building up, and it never dawned on any of us. And as I was standing in Birmingham, Alabama, having flown into Birmingham the night before, watching the Twin Towers, it just brings back memories. And all of us know and can relate and remember. And as a group, as a country and as a world, as a nation, it was interesting that scientific analysis actually saw a drop in electrical field from the hearts of mankind around the world with such a wicked action that happened that day. So it's, yes, if you've been there, I've seen it there. I've been there since they put the memorial. So, yeah, it brought back a lot of memories, and it's just interesting as New York goes. But let's go ahead and get started. Brethren, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 139, and we'll begin in verse 14. Psalms 139 and verse 14. And I love the fact that it's God's plan that he brings us together. Mr. Tuck and I never collaborated on our messages, but it's just amazing how they'll go hand in hand here. But in Psalms chapter 139, verse 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right and well. Brethren, God made everything, and it was good. And when we think about that, because in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. We are his spitting image. We are a chip off the old block. He has made us to be just like him. And then verse 27 of Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And in verse 31, dropping down, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God didn't make anything bad. And when we think about this, and going on, I hope you kept your place in Psalms, because we'll go back to verse 12, and it says, yea, the darkness hides not from me, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you were possessed in my reins, and have covered me in the womb, in my mother's womb. And when you read this over, and I'm going to pull up the Good Works Bible, and it says in verse 12, even the darkness is not too dark for you. Night is bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You alone created my inner being. You knitted me together inside my mother. I will give thanks to you because I have been so amazingly and miraculously made. Your works are miraculous, and my soul is fully aware of this. Brethren, this is what our Savior, our Creator, is saying about us. And when we read these scriptures, what comes to mind? We have to know that we were created for a purpose and a plan to bring to fruition a greater outcome as to what's going to happen. Now, we do have an adversary that is going to try to thwart us. But when we read these scriptures, we must never doubt the outcome of what God has in store for us, what His wish are, what He wants us to bring to become. And when we read, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. When you read Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." We are fashioned according to His will. He wants us to focus on His great calling. Our adversary would like us to focus on anything other than. We understand how great God is, and we come to a greater understanding as we focus in on the book and the words that are in the book, not just the book. You can read lots, thousands and thousands, millions of publications are out there, but this book, this is the only book written by our Savior, our Father. And it is the only true path to salvation. And one of the things, when we see our adversary and how powerful he is, we have to remember how much greater God is. And that is so important to us to realize that He hasn't given us a power of a spirit of fear, but of power to understand what we're supposed to do and why we're doing the things that He has asked us to do. So shifting our attentions away from the adversary's distractions and concentrating on the greatness of God is vital to our growth. Knowing that He is a liar. Our adversary lies all the time. And even in his truth, he lies, because he'll give you half-truths. Brethren, the title of this message was Forged by the Spirit. And we're in the molding process right now. We hear and see a lot of things in our lifetime. With the media blitz that so severely hamstrings the world in our capacity to focus, focus on what is important. Why we do what we do and what we are supposed to focus in on. And when we take the time and opportunity, see, God's melding us. He's bending and shaping us. He's heating it up. And when we go through trials, we're forged. And there's blows from the hammer that fashion us. Some of us are pliable like clay in the potter's hand. Others of us, like myself, are a little more hard and have to have many strikes from the hammer to recognize what he's trying to get through to us. But as we intertwine with God's Holy Spirit, see, that Spirit dwells in us. It's not some outside figment of your imagination. It's right here. Right here. We have to understand that this power, we are part of, not separate from. See, we worship a God that, it says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, who cannot lie. God cannot lie. And we want to believe the truth. What hurts us the most when we're growing up, when we finally realize somebody's lying to us, or somebody fibs to us, or somebody takes advantage of us because they told us a half-truth, or just a flat-out lie? When little girls, when young ladies get heartbroken because some ogre takes the time to tell them, "Oh, I really love you." And then they say that to the other 10 girls that they're talking to also. Now, girls can do it too, but primarily guys, you know. And you think of this heartbreak and how that it changes your psyche. But, you know, we have to come to believe the truth of God. And not only believe it, but do it. Follow through with the actions, with godly thoughts, with godly actions, with godly deeds. And let that be your first action, first reaction, rather than, man, I should have done something. I mean, we've all had that time when we had that case of yabiditis. Yeah, but yeah, I just didn't feel like it. I could have helped those people. Yeah, but yeah, it was inconvenient. I had football to watch or whatever. We all come up with our own excuses as to why we do the things we do. But our minds, our cognitive skills that we have that come from God are not cloaked in forgery by our adversary. They are real. They are true. When we read these words, so many pundits are out there that want to take the time to discuss how the Bible's not real. Religious scholars that say, well, that couldn't have been real. This area of the globe, this area of Jerusalem, Israel, doesn't support that. Huh? Why? Just because you can't see the physical attributes of what you think should have been? But we, brethren, have to be malleable as clay in God's hands so that he can change us. And as water helps clay to become more malleable, heat changes the molecular structure of metal. And when it is quenched and put into the fire and into the water, the hamon, to finish the blade, the sword smithing that you see, it gives it that finish. So when you see that blade and whoosh, and the steam comes up, brethren, we're being forged by the Spirit so that we can be, help others to see what God would have us to see, so that we can be that iron that sharpens iron, as it mentions in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As fellow believers, we have to take the time to set aside for God this Sabbath day. We work all week to think about, whew, I'm too tired to go to services. Really? What's important? Which one's going to get you into the kingdom? See, what we have to come to understand is that the Holy Spirit that dwells within you as a baptized member is the most powerful spirit, powerful force in this whole universe. And do we see it as such? Or do we just say, oh yeah, I've got God's Holy Spirit? Do we really see it as such? Now, you're armed with this knowledge. What do you do with it? What are you going to do? How do you react when faced with dire circumstances? How do you respond? Because it's the response that is going to make or break the difference when we are faced with trials, when we are faced with bigotry, racism, whatever the case may be. How do we respond? Do we respond in a loving, do we follow the example of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who was tempted in all points as we were, as we are? The overcoming, to utilize the greatest gift that has ever been bestowed upon mankind, and you, what's your name? You have that within you. Don't take it for granted, brethren, because it's such a blessing to be here, to understand what God is trying to process through you. And we're talking about eternity. when we hear about somebody living to 100 years old, we think, wow, that's a long time. Or if you have Methuselah, 969 years. Really? That's a long time. How long is eternity? We have to utilize God's Holy Spirit and Christ's shed blood to completely wash away those sins. It's not just a matter of it's buried. It's gone. If you go back over and say, yeah, God, I want to tell you about this sin I got, but I repented of it, but where'd it go? Huh? That's what our Savior did for us. And that's why it's so important as we get closer and closer to the Passover, the spring holy days, to focus in on seeing all the blessings that God has given us, even in the face of adversity. God continues to provide for us immense knowledge and access to His understanding. And we must ask and diligently seek and resolve to say, look, this is it. This is my life. This is the way that I can't do it any other way. I don't want to do it any other way. It's not a choice for me anymore. Over in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, it mentions about how much greater God is. And how that, well, let's just go ahead and read it first. This is Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Brethren, we deal with a God, and we see that when His Son came, and He said, you know, why do you fear? Why do you doubt? Haven't you seen? He wept because people only saw the physical attributes of what He was doing, but not the spiritual understanding of why He was doing what He was doing for us. Do we want to be fed spiritually, or do we look for the regular bread that He was providing for the Israelites at the time? He encourages to have that and seek the sagacious wisdom that God has to offer, never allowing fear, doubt, or human reasoning to sway us in the way that we step back or step away. We have to look for God's wisdom. We have to understand that in the face of fear, as Mr. Tuck mentioned in the first message, He didn't give us a power, a spirit of fear, but a power. He told us to put on the whole armor of God. Because we have to fight the battle. He's there with us every step of the way. This age right now is dominated by ignorance and arrogance that does not allow us to see what real value is. Hidden in so many of society's messages are sins. But that's our adversary. We heard about him. He will lie, but he'll make it to where you'll feel that peer pressure to say, are you willing to swim upstream against not keeping another day of the week? Not keeping holidays? Do you really want to face that trial? Are you willing to face that trial? As my friend Bob Fenwick said, any old dead fish can float down with the river. It takes strength to fight up the stream. You know, it's interesting, in the movie Titanic years ago, there was a scene where a rich man was trying to pay a porter to get on one of the life rafts. And he said to him, he rebuked him and says, what is your money going to do for me now? All it could do is float down to the bottom of the ocean, just like he was going to do, because he wasn't going to get off on one of the life rafts. We have to see the value in God's words. We have to see the value in understanding the true message of God, not what we've grown up with if we've come from other religions. And even those, so much of what has been fostered in every society across the globe has been influenced by our adversary. So much so that it's unrecognizable at times, but we have to continue to study so that we can see. God, please show me. Help me to separate between what's real and what's not real. What's been a tradition forever, but when you really take a look at it deep down and understand that I can't follow this. This is nonsense. It's important to learn more about, is it important for you to learn more about the scripture? And the answer is yes, if eternal life appeals to you. See, brother, with that ironing sharpened ironing, the purpose of discussing the scriptures is not to see who can quote more scriptures, but to provide insight so we can internalize, inculcate them into our own being, so that we have God's life-giving words, and it allows us to define not who we are, but what we are to become. Going back to the tempering process, once steel is tempered and strengthened, it can withstand many strikes, and it is used to fashion and shape more metal. So we continue to build and forge one another, to help one another. Again, focusing in on our adversary's weakness, but magnifying God's greatness. When we read this book, when we see what God says to us, do we comprehend the magnitude of God's greatness? Satan is the god of this world, little g. He's lame duck because Jesus Christ is qualified to overtake this world. You know, in this universe, there are two elements that dominate it, hydrogen and helium, that make up 90% of all matters in the universe. The rest of the universe is made up of oxygen, iron, carbon, that is less than 2%. But when we think of the universe and all the planets out there, all the stars out there, and then you have all this dark matter, this dark space, brethren, it's full. The message of God, God, as I mentioned earlier in the scriptures, when he says that he can see through darkness or light, it's the same to him, one and the same. It is the spirit that grants life. And no other form, there's life not found on any other planets because God has chosen in his infinite wisdom to allow us to be a part of his plan. When it says in Romans, the whole universe groans until our coming to age, our understanding, our being born into his family. What an exciting plan it is that God has allowed you, what's your name? You, a mere little lump of clay that he's fashioned and formed, told us to which ways to go, to allow us to be a part of his plan. See, we get on our knees and we cry out to God all the time. God, please help us. Do this, 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 and this for me, God. God writes a whole book to us. Are we listening to him? But he's so merciful that he allows us not just 70 times 7. How many times have we sinned against God? You, only you have I sinned against, O God, as he says in Malachi. Our sin is against God. But he keeps forgiving us. He keeps giving us the opportunity to turn, to do better, to get our minds right, so that we can see how valuable it is to be here on the Sabbath day, to fellowship with one another, to love one another, to fill our minds with the goodness of God and not focus in on the darkness of our adversary. We give the message of what Christ is, or what our adversary is and who he is. We know, we have heard today who our enemy is. But we also know in great detail how much greater the God family is, the great Elohim, the eternal. As I mentioned before, the spiritual world is more real than the physical world. And as we read, if you can read it yourself, but you can write this down in Job chapter 38 and verse 7. It speaks of I'll go ahead and read it to you. It says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy at the creation of the earth. Incredible times. When Lucifer still was a covering cherub. But after that, he chose not to listen to God and want to do his own thing. And as Mr. Tuck had mentioned, I had written down about 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 14 through 17, how that Elisha, the mountain was filled with God's angels to protect them. Brethren, that's the great God we serve. And why do we fear? Why do we doubt? Why do we worry? Why do we reason amongst ourselves as to why we can't do this? Brethren, it's such a great thing. There's none like him. None. You read in the recent Good News magazine how the gods of Egypt and how that they were an affront to God and how God chopped them down one right after the other, right after the other. In the face of all of what they thought was holy and good in their realm. And he showed the ancient Hebrews who was the real God. You know, as challenges present themselves in our lives, they can become our sole focus, our bellwether, our main concern. But when we realize, as it says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? And the answer is no. And as we progress towards the spring holy days, we must examine our lives fully. In the United News, there's a fantastic article, and it has a Passover checklist, Passover check-in. And these are open, I'm going to quote it, I made a copy of it. It says, these are the open-ended questions are designed to help you examine your heart as a part of your Passover preparation. They are not meant to test your knowledge or aptitude, but rather to serve as a guideline for you as to consider and prepare your heart for the Passover. Be honest with yourself and dig deep. Do I have faith that God hears my prayers? Can I remember any answered prayers from this past year? Am I at peace waiting for answers yet to come? Do I feel the Holy Spirit working in me and through me? Or do I feel like I'm striving on my own? And it goes on, and there's more and more points, but please make sure you look in your United News, because it is so important as we approach this Passover, the spring holy day season, and our Passover and days of unleavened bread, that we have a knowledge check. Not just a knowledge check, but a test, a check to see who we are and what we are to become and why we're doing the things we do. Think in terms of activities. If you were at your desk all day at work and you never addressed the business's needs, would you expect a raise? Or if you watch videos on your phone all day long and never answered a customer call, you just let the phone ring or go to voicemail, how would your employer feel about you? We have a calling, brother, a very important calling. And is the highest calling that we can have, is it worth answering? How much do we value our relationship with God? And how important is eternity to you? How much emphasis do you regard the most precious and treasured calling that will ever bring itself into fruition? Only you can answer that. But as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord forever. So, as some are malleable in the potter's hands, some of us need the heat and the anvil to mend and shape us. The Holy Spirit is there to help us define what is truly important in life and define what we are to become. And as we are forged by the Spirit, hardened, not for battle against mankind, but for battle against our adversaries, to understand who he is, why he is, and what he's capable of. But more so, how much more capable is God's Holy Spirit within us? So much of our influence, again, revolves around the God of this world. The God of this world has tainted so much, more than what we ever can recognize, until we come to see our calling, until we start utilizing the Holy Spirit to say, absolutely not. I'm not falling for that. And then it becomes rearview mirror because we're focused on God. As I've said so many times before, a mirror cannot shine, cannot reflect in darkness. We have to look to the light. And as that light penetrates the darkness and takes it away, and we're focused on the light and focused on the truth and focused on the goodness of God, all of those things become rearview mirror. What our adversary would have us focus in on and keep us up at night worried about, when we read Matthew 6, let's go over there, Matthew 6. When it talks about in 25, therefore I say, do not worry about what your life is, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And this was the scripture that my dad gave me when I was 10 years old. And he said, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. None of us have not heard that scripture. Brethren, we have to seek God, seek his kingdom. Lay everything aside. Human nature is going to cycle. I've been watching a series on Vietnam, the Vietnam War. And it's amazing how that the 60s, late 60s, early 70s are mirroring this time now. All the chaos and confusion, all the heartache and hard feelings that people are going through. Are we focused in on that? Or are we focused in on the scriptures and understanding who God is, what he wants us to do, why he wants us to do it? What an exciting opportunity to be a part of his family, to continue to live the way that God would have us to live. Our understanding of the power that might be, the realization that there is none greater than our God. In conclusion, brethren, we are utilizing the gift of the Holy Spirit and being led by it, how we are being molded and fashioned according to God's will, however He needs us to be, to do what He would have us to do, to be where He would want us to be, so that we can influence that person or those people to do the things that He would, to be that light for all mankind. We are being shaped and crafted, and we need to do so according to God's will, because in Job chapter 14, verse 14, and I read this scripture because this is a scripture that is used at many funerals. It says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed life, I will wait till my change comes." Job changed before his death by removing the self-righteousness and the realization of God's greatness, and not allowing any thought to be more important than what God would have him to focus on. See, hidden in that text in the book of Job, after Job's realization coming to understand what was there, is that he had the blessings of allowing him to have another family, to have more material wealth. But he understood it wasn't about physical service and sacrificing and doing the things that what was considered to be righteousness to man, but it was giving himself over to God to think and to do things as God would have you to do. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and I'll read it for you, because this is the whole focus, the focal point. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Why does God have to instruct us to think on these things? Because our adversary wants us to think on anything but that. But that is so important to us, to know what to think about and why we think these things, so that we can become that person that He would have us to be, so that we can be a part of His family and live for eternity. What a great blessing we have.